politics with this bloke, isn't it? That's all he does. That's all he does. He's not a leader. He's just a liberal. He's just a liberal. And all he does is play politics every day. And I just don't think that's fair. And I don't think it's right. And I think Victorians are sick of it.
Meanwhile, Melburnians are being urged to stay the course ahead of Saturday's AFL Grand Final. There are concerns residents will flout rules surrounding indoor gatherings. Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton has reminded Victorians the rules are there for a reason.
Look, it does present a risk if people aren't following the advice that we've given all along, that we're not at a point where we can have indoor gatherings with close friends or extended family. If we were at that point where we thought we could recommend those indoor household gatherings, we'd be saying that.
In other news, New South Wales residents will be allowed to gather in groups of 30 in outdoor public settings from Friday as the state continues to ease COVID-19 restrictions. And 5 New Zealand travellers have landed at Adelaide Airport. It follows reports 65 Kiwis have tried to enter states outside of New South Wales and the Northern Territory since the travel bubble opened last week. SEN.com.au Sport coming up next.
Is your business managing multiple currencies? Get an OF expert working for you. It could save you thousands on FX. Visit ofx.com/save. Consider the PDS.
6 days out from the NRL Grand Final, Melbourne Storm captain Cameron Smith is still refusing to confirm if Sunday's clash against Penrith will be his last. And reigning champions New South Wales have lost 3 quick wickets to be 3-for-75 at lunch in their Sheffield Shield clash with Western Australia.
Binge is now streaming the world's best shows for $10 a month. Start watching today with a 14-day free trial for new customers. Visit binge.com.au. Binge Basic $10 a month.
Been a smash in Hoppers Crossing on Morris Road northbound. Some lanes are closed at Sayers Road and another crash has been cleaned up in Point Cook on Point Cook Road at Middle Park Drive. Waterworks are underway in queue a bit tight on Barkers Road outbound approaching Glenfree Road, and in Glenroy Road's closed westbound at Pascoe Vale Road with level crossing removal works. Buses replace trains on the Sunbury line from Friday night the 6th of November to the 21st of November. Find out if you're affected at bigbill.vic.gov.au. That's the latest SEN Sky Traffic.
Subscribe to the SEN Track podcast. Just search for SEN Track on your podcast provider today.
Bet Australian this spring. Bet with Bluey at bluebet.com.au or download the app today. Gamble responsibly.
Shower or two clearing for Melbourne today, mostly sunny. Tomorrow, 18. Wednesday, cloudy, 18 degrees. And for chasing, pacing and racing, listen to SEN Track on the SEN app.
Summer Internet. Business internet from just $99 a month. Now available in Footscray and right across Melbourne and Geelong. Visit Robot's click and collect service. Order online. Pick up at your nearest store.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Always great to have a chat to Koshy. Always great to have a chat to you as well. We'll come back to your calls very shortly. Dwayne's World for Robot Building Supplies. Robot is still open for business during the stage four restrictions. And we're brought to you by Summit Internet. Summit Internet, business internet from just $99 per month. In his regular spot, AFL Hall of Famer Terry Wallace has been good enough to jump on the line. Welcome to you, Terry.
G'day, Dwayne. How are you going? So much to talk about. Really looking forward to what should be a great grand final.
Yeah, I said earlier, I think the best two teams are in it, to be honest, Terry, but you might beg to differ. What did you take out of the weekend?
First up, I do agree. I had Richmond and Geelong as my 1 and 2 seeds, but the thing that made it sort of a little awkward was the home ground advantages to the other two sides. So that was always at the back of your mind about, you know, would it actually play out that way, or you know, would the sides with the home advantage, you know, get some sort of edge? But what did I make out of the weekend? I made out of it that the Tigers had to change their game to be able to get a result at halftime. But halftime, you know, you looked at the numbers and they were in all sorts of bother. You know, they were losing virtually in every facet of the game. But 40 possessions down, 7 clearances down, contested possessions are down by 14, 10 inside 50s down, interceptions, they were being slaughtered, 17-4 in that area. So something had to change, and it ended up being the clearance aspect of the game that massively turned around in the second half, 28-9. and that was the difference that that had the game played a little bit more in their end in the second half to give them the opportunity of being able to get a result. The flip around of that was that exactly the same situation happened in the next preliminary final, where it was a full dominance by Geelong at half time, and they were dominating every stat that you could possibly want to have a look at. But it was up to the Lions to sort of see whether they could turn it around, and they just couldn't do it. You know, they just didn't have the ability, you know, to get hold of clearance or get hold of contested possession as Richmond were able to. So what you end up getting is, you know, a side that can change on the run, and that's usually a mature side playing, versus a side that just, you know, once the die had been cast in a certain direction, that they just could not turn that around at any stage in the game. And that's what we got, you know, from a Brisbane point of view. So well done to the Tigers. Showed the maturity, showed the want and the will to get a result. And what we end up with, look, to be honest, I think Geelong are playing the superior footy, and most most things, when you have a look at the numbers, will tell you that that's exactly the case. I mean, yeah, you have a look at their three finals. Obviously, they're both 1-2, lost one, but the percentage point of view, Geelong are on 169% over their finals. Richmond are on 113%. So they're 23 points. They have been 23 points better in their games, Geelong, than what Richmond have been in their games. You go to the territory battle on the weekend. Geelong won their territory inside 50s by 18. Richmond lost theirs by 15. So the fascination is, I think, certainly Geelong are in better form, but Richmond have handled Geelong so very, very well when they've played each other in the past.
And that's the beauty of what we've got. I mean, are we both in agreement that we've got the best two teams, both with a full list of players to choose from, so neither of the teams have got an injury. We're playing on a neutral ground at the Gabba, and we've got two teams that have spent pretty much equal time living away from home in a hub. So we don't have this MCG factor in Richmond with a dominant vocal crowd, and we don't... There's a whole heap of stuff we don't have. What we do have is the perfect neutral grand final in a way, Terry.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Totally agree. And a little bit of argy-bargy. I think Richmond people have been one of the most to sort of say, Geelong only make finals and only make prelims because they have that Geelong home ground advantage. And I think Geelong are pretty much sort of saying, well, what are you guys talking about? Yeah, you play all your games at the end of the game, you have the finals at your home ground. So I think this shuts it all up and let the best team win.
And do you think you talked about the experience of the two teams, and I do think it's shone through with Richmond late in the game against Port Adelaide. Their bit part players seem to know that they could actually step up to the plate when the big stage moments came, not just leave it up to the senior guys. So we know how good Martin and Lynch and Riewoldt and Cochin are. We know what we're going to get from those guys, but beyond them is a list of guys who are really, really solid under pressure. And I know, I think Geelong showed the same as well. I mean, both Port Adelaide and Brisbane have, you know, a young brigade, but, Rayner was quiet, Hipwood was quiet, McStay was quiet, Cameron, after his two goals, was kept down by Kyler Jasny, and Geelong's, I mean, their backline experience as well, despite us thinking that it might be slow and it might not have the big guns in it, it sort of held up pretty solid as well.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, you're right. And I'll go back to the Richmond game first. Yeah. Although they're really, really important players, man, Curvis's importance just shone through towards the end. Lambert, who has been the top three best and fairest, in fairness to Kane Lambert, has been an excellent player. I don't think he's had quite the year this year, but the two goals in the last quarter were just critical to them getting over the line. And I totally agree, when you march on to the other game. How good was Sam Simpson? They brought him in. And for a young, skinny kid, his physicality, he's been brilliant. I mean, he had five clearances, five score involvements, four tackles. It was all inside ball. I mean, when I thought they were bringing Simpson into the side, I sort of more envisaged, get a little bit more outside run going for the side. But, he was fantastic. And for Kyler Jasny, imagine sitting there and sort of saying 3 weeks ago, look, this is going to be your last 3 weeks of football and we need you to get these jobs done for us to win a premiership. We're going to put you on Jordan Dugali against Collingwood. And then we're going to front up and put you on Charlie Cameron the following week. And just for good measure, we're going to give you the two-time Norm Smith medalist the next time, every time he comes forward in Dusty Martin. And that's likely to be his role, I would think, this weekend. Having taken on the other two guys, why wouldn't you throw it to him?
Yeah, and in saying that, Port Adelaide and Brisbane both beaten, but their young brigade does look like it's got some huge upside down the track. When you think about, you know, McGluggage, Berry, Rayner, Bailey, Starcevic, we know that Brisbane are pretty well stocked when it comes to good youth, and Port Adelaide's young guys played pretty well. Rosie Butters has had an outstanding year. Dersma has been as solid as ever. Marshall was a little down, it must be said, but they look like they've got a reasonable opportunity to keep this run of finals going, Port Adelaide.
Yeah, I think so. I think if I was to measure the two up, I would say that Brisbane are marginally in a better position, because I think that the senior players at Port are older. And so, yep, you know, the balance of the kids are great, absolutely brilliant. And I couldn't have been more rapt with the way that Rosie and Dersma in particular. Butters was brilliant the week before, the game before that, the 2 weeks before. But certainly from the point of view of Rosie and Dersma, they are fantastic. Obviously, Dersma made that one critical error with the mark, but he was brilliant the way that he played the game, and Rosie's going to be, well, if he's not already an absolute star, he just showed how good of a player he's going to be in the future. But they've just got a little bit of juggling, with the age. I mean, obviously, we know that Ebert's not going to be there now. Westhoff as another one, but there's a couple of those other boys that are starting to march on age-wise. So
Robbie Gray, Travis Boak, you're right. Yeah.
Correct. So they've got a bit of balancing off, where I have a look at Brisbane, and their senior players are still sort of really on the march, and obviously, one of those, Lockie Neal, winning the Brownlow medal, and congratulations to him last night.
Yeah, what did you make of, does Eric Hipwood need a Joe Danaher, or do they need an accurate goal kicker? Is Joe Danaher going to be exactly what they need, or is it a little bit worrying if they put Hipwood and Danaher together in that forward line, and Danaher's a 50-50 goal kicker as well?
Yeah, it's questionable. I mean, it really is questionable, because I can't see them playing the three. So that really does have Mitch Day, where's his future lie with them? So, and particularly when they do play McInerney sometimes as that extra forward anyway. The one thing for me, that Hipwood and Danaher are quite similar in the way that they would want to play the game. It will help Hipwood for the fact that I still think that at the moment Hipwood gets the number one defender all the time, and McStay most of the time gets the number two. Well, with Danaher coming in, providing he's fit and well, I would suggest that flows across, that Danaher would get number one, Hipwood would get number two. So that part of it would definitely help Eric Hipwood. But there's questions on Danaher's body. There's questions on his kicking capabilities, and whether he can straighten that up. He hasn't been able to straighten it up since he was a 17-year-old, so I can't see a lot of that changing this late in his career, although some players late in their careers have sort of picked up to a degree. But I still think there's some real questions around the Danaher move to Brisbane.
And I know that you've talked about this a bit during the year, and I agree with you, that the second tier of player that Geelong's got, we know they've got Dangerfield, Ablett, Selwood, Hawkins at the absolute top end, but they've also got Duncan. Guthrie's had a great season, but he finished fourth in the Brownlow as well. I know that the performance of Parfitt would have surprised a few people, but he has the ability to play that kind of game as well. Menegola's been good, and you mentioned Simpson. So their second tier of player provided as well.
Yeah, very much so. And that's been the thing with Dangerfield, that they've had trust in that that group of players through the middle of the ground that you just rattled off there, that have been able to really get the job done. But then you go to the other end, and I thought Henry was a lot better than what he's been, and his ability to get up the ground. I think O'Connor is an underrated player for them as well. So those defenders work in beautifully well. And how good has Henderson been? I mean, what a turnaround in his career. I thought he was just about shot as a player, and he's done a wonderful job. And you could very well see Henderson playing on Riewoldt after Jack kicked his five goals in last year's grand final, and that'd be a jewel in itself. But, you know, there's so many things to look forward to next week, isn't there? You know, the stars of the game, you know, all aligned, having, you know, Dusty and Danger on the same stage. And, you know, it sort of reminds me a bit of, you know, going back to Buckley and Voss. I remember their grand final, where one minute you thought one of them was going to get the medal, and the next minute you thought the other one was. It was just brilliant to have the best of the best there. And I did the game on Saturday night, and gee, it reminded me, the Gary Ablett scenario in that game reminded me so much of Lee Matthews. And if you just bear with me for a second, and it probably takes to only now older listeners that would remember this, but.
It got raised last week, Terry, and I was trying to rack my brain. You were one of those that carried Lee off, weren't you?
Yeah. So we'll go back to Saturday night first. Preliminary final, you have to get through to be able to have that sort of fairy tale finish to start off with. And, you know, the game's still on the line in that third quarter, and it was Gary Ablett that just said, well, I'm going to have to get the boys over the line myself. Can't be waiting for anyone else to do it. I go back to Lee Matthews. We played our preliminary final out at Waverley against the Bulldogs, and it was Brad Hardy playing on Lee Matthews, and the game was tight right in the balance, and it was Lee Matthews that got the Hawks over the line to get them into their grand final exactly the same, to have his last game in the grand final. And that's exactly the way that it played out the other night. It just, they reminded me so much, you know, as superstars of the game. But when it needed to be done, they both sort of said, well, hang on, I've still got something in me. Even though I'm only one game away from retirement, I've still got something in me as a star player to get it done. And I just thought in that game that Daniel Rich just was too loose on Ablett, just gave him too much latitude. And the one thing you know with Ablett, the ball in hand, he's going to make the right decision. He's going to hurt you. And that'll be interesting with Richmond, who they send to Ablett just to lock him away, because I just don't think that they'll give him the room. I mean, Daniel Rich is their set-up player. He's the offensive weapon. But I wouldn't be putting my offensive weapon. So I don't think it'll be Short, for example, because he's the offensive weapon for Richmond, or a Hooley coming out of that back line. I think you'll find that it'll be more likely to be a Vlosten or a Baker that's a bit more lockdown that goes to Ablett in the grand final.
Oh, the matchups are going to be epic. I can't wait to talk to you about them later on the week. We can talk about a couple after the break if you like. Who goes to Dusty, the Bolter, Hawkins, opportunity to start talking about who mans who, especially if Dangerfield lines up in the forward line again, where he might start. In fact, if you don't mind, Terry, we'll come back to you after the break. And Terry mentioned Gary Ablett talking about finishing in a grand final. Here is Gary Ablett talking about finishing in a grand final. As we go to the break, more Terry Wallace to join us after this.
It's obviously a great feeling. I mean, that's why we play the game, is to play in grand finals. And, you know, we're down to that last game now. We've just got to win one more, and hopefully we can take that cup back to Geelong and celebrate. You know, it's been... 11 years since I've played in a grand final. So, you know, I'm really excited. I've been blessed throughout the last 19 years just to play the game for that long. You know, the average career is 4 years, and I've been able to achieve so much in my career. So I'm hoping I can go out on a high.
Whispers, we love our loyal SEN Breakfast listeners. There's no doubt about that, and we especially enjoy it when they call in and have a chat to us.
But we can't do it alone. This virus is not going anywhere soon, so we need to manage it and stick with our COVID plan. Now is not the time to get complacent and risk the virus spreading on construction sites. So let's keep working together and make sure we don't contribute to a third wave. Inkerlink is committed to keeping you and the construction industry safe with ongoing on-site testing. We will beat this virus and help rebuild Victoria's economy.
Committed to working together. Eric Locke, CEO Inkerlink. Rebecca Casson, CEO, Master Builders Association Victoria, and the Building Industry Group of Unions.
It's finals fever time. Taking a ride down memory lane. Finals memories for giant bicycles.
Nick Del Santo.
One of my favourite football moments is the 2009 prelim at the MCG, playing against the Western Bulldogs. The kick came in from the flank, 45 metres out, a left footer number 26, went to the top of the goal square, played percentages, and in comes Nick Riewoldt. Little toe poke gets over the line. Saints go on to play in the grand final.
Giant bicycles. We're riding with you.
How about last night's game?
The team was on fire.
Speaking of fire, have you tried Macca's new Fiery McSpicy or the seriously saucy Palmy Burger? They're irresistible.
Macca's new chicken menu. Too good to keep to yourself.
Available after 10:30 a.m.
We can move the world for you, Cameron's. Can do.
Through COVID-19, Cameron's is an essential service and continues to keep Australia moving. All the supplies needed around this country are on their way in the Cameron's Can Do yellow trucks. Rest assured, all Cameron's staff are working to the highest possible health and safety measures. Driving in difficult conditions, we send a big thank you to all Cameron's drivers and wish them safe travels.
Cameron's Can Do.
Cameron's.com.au.
Upgrade to BreezeAir Supercool Ducted Home Cooling Sale is now on at Coldflow. Get in before summer and get a free upgrade to world's best BreezeAir Supercool. Install now, beat the summer rush and fill your home with fresh, clean, cool air and save with Coldflow. Book online or call now. Offer won't last. 1-300-880-688. That's 1-300-880-688.
Coldflow. Playing with asbestos is not a sport. For same-day asbestos and hazardous material testing in your business, home or sports club, call Identifiber. Identifiber is the official asbestos and hazardous material testing partner of SEN. Identifiber.com.au.
There's an energy company that gives you more than just gas and electricity. At Red Energy, we give you power. Power that's backed by renewable energy projects like the Mighty Snowy Hydro Scheme. Power to support our economy by choosing a retailer that's 100% Aussie-owned and operated. And the power to get award-winning customer service every time you contact our Melbourne-based call centre. So for locally born and bred gas and electricity, call Red today on 131 806.
At RaceNet, we know backing the right horse means sweating the small stuff. And a winning bet can ride on a single piece of news. So never miss a thing. Sweat the source that breaks more Australian racing news than anywhere else. RaceNet. Download the app today. Gamble responsibly.
When you're a tradie, time is money. And that makes it time to head to Robot Building Supplies, because robots got it. Steel, sleepers, wire mesh, timber, roofing, and more at the lowest prices. Like Corrie Roof Sheeting Zinc, in stock at $8.90 per metre, colour also available custom cut. Save time and money with Robot.
Notting Hill, Sunshine, Preston, Dramana, Pakenham, Coldstream and Darnham.
Call 1-300-GO-ROBOT or robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
R-O-B-O-T, Robot Building Supplies.
Summit Internet. Business internet from just $99 a month. Now available in Footscray and right across Melbourne and Geelong. Visit Robot's click and collect service. Order online. Pick up at your nearest store.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
I don't know about you guys. Like, if I see one bloke walk out of here getting a pat on the back from people out there for a good effort, I'll spew up.
I'll spew up. Love the segment. Terry Wallace, AFL Hall of Famer, is still with us. What's your spew up this week, Terry?
Well, it's my last one for the year, Dwayne, and I'm on my soapbox again. Our AFL competition was all about winning premierships. To do this, we play a full season of games to get ourselves as high up the ladder as we can possibly get, to get the best chance and the best advantages to have a crack at a flag. We so regularly in the past heard coaches say the first step is to finish top four and to make the qualifying final. And history has shown that winning the qualifying final was the best opportunity to freshen up and play your way into a grand final via the preliminary. And the statistics have backed that up to the coaches' theories on it. In a separate and complete separate issue for the AFL, they then had a problem with teams who were locked away in their finals position, managing and resting players in the final round of the season. But like so many other decisions of the past from the AFL, they brought in a rule, which was obviously the end-of-season bye rule, without ever thinking about its consequences to other parts of the integrity of the competition. Now the double bye rule means that the winner of the qualifying final, which was once so important, gets to play one game in 26 days before entering the preliminary final. In this competition, you need ballistic action to keep your physicality and to keep your touch up, and you can't get that action with one game in 26 days. So what was once a prize victory can now be seen as a potential disadvantage. It doesn't mean you can't win, but why on earth have we placed hurdles in front of the two highest qualifiers? If you don't believe anything's changed, well, these numbers have been being bandied around, but this is the actual facts of it. The last 5 years, so 2016 to 2020, since we've had the two buys, qualifying winners being able to go on and win the preliminary final have been 4 out of 10, 40%. The 5 years prior to that, 2011 to 2015, when we only had the one buy, it was 90%. So we've gone from 40% to 90%. The entire season of me, Dwayne, is about qualifying, and one rule has now completely muddied the waters for the top teams.
Well, you and I will agree to disagree on that, Terry, but that's the fun of having you on. We don't have to agree on everything, and I reckon that the week off has been good for the competition. We've got full lists, and no one's injured. And I reckon if Geelong and Brisbane, or Richmond and Port, played this week without the week off, I reckon we'd probably get the same result. I know your point is valid. Your point is absolutely valid, and a lot of people are talking about it. But, you know, Port was in front, at quarter time, and they led every stat at quarter time. I don't think they started slowly. But anyway, it's a good talking point, and I think it's going to continue, Terry.
And we'll disagree on one last thing. They had the first two goals kicked on them in the first 15 minutes and only give up four goals for 3.5 quarters after that.
Yeah, they led every stat category to half time, so they dominated possession. So I don't think that.
They had two of their six goals kicked on them in the first 15 minutes, right? That's a fact.
Yeah, whilst dominating possession, Terry, that's a fact. Every stat category they led early. So, we could argue about it. I would argue, Terry, also that last year. I don't think we've ever had... Have we had a premier that didn't deserve to win it? Last year, Richmond finished third. They only missed the top two by... Well, they only missed top spot by percentage only. So they were equal top, and they won the flag last year. So that doesn't sound like a broke system to me. The year before, West Coast finished home and away second and won it. So that's not a broke system. And 2017, Richmond finished third. Exactly the same wins as the top two and won the flag. So I don't think the system's broke myself.
So do you think it is a reasonable system that has a team play one in 26 days?
No, I agree with you that the way that you look at that, you think it might not be quite right. But I did ask Ken Hinckley last week, leading into the game, whether he thinks that's going to be a factor. And he kind of laughed at me.
Senior coach is not going to say on the eve of a final when they've been the team that have had the one in 26 days, the senior coach is not going to say that to you.
No, that was off air though, Terry.
But you wouldn't be saying it anyway. You would not be even having that going through your thoughts because you can't afford it to. But we'll agree to disagree. And I'll tell you the other one with it, Dwayne. Anyone who sort of says, oh, well, the finals are tighter and closer with the extra buy, that's not a fact either. You go through the pre-buy and the post-buy, we basically get two to three close finals, so under two goal finals every year. We got that with the double buys, and we certainly got exactly the same, because I've done the numbers on it, got exactly the same when it was a single buy.
But we are agreeing that the best... See, I'm of the belief that this year, Terry, especially, given what we've had this year, as I look at it now, maybe Port and Brisbane, who finished the home and away first and second, weren't actually the best two teams, but Geelong and Richmond... third and fourth were. Port and Brisbane just helped a little bit by staying home more, sleeping in their own beds, having actual home games on their home ground, not staying in the bubble. Maybe Richmond and Geelong were handicapped a little by the months and months in the hubs, and maybe they were the best two teams. It's just they had this handicap where they weren't given the advantages that Brisbane and Port were given.
Well, we'll leave it on that one because I do agree with that.
All right, great to have you. Terry, always good to be able to pick your brain. And so you're not joining me next Monday. There's no more I'll spew up after the grand final. You're off.
I'm done. I'm off into the wild blue yonders from there into retirement. So, I'll thank all your listeners on Friday, because my last day is on Saturday, grand final day. So we're all done, Dwayne, and that's a 43-year journey finished up this week for me.
Great to have you, Terry. You've been a great addition to the program. We'll talk to you Friday. Terry Wallace, AFL Hall of Famer, joining us. Dwayne's World for Robot Building Supplies. Robot is still open for business during the stage 4 restrictions. And we're here for the good people at Summit Internet as well. You can join us on the open line if you like, 1300 736 736, brought to you by Werribee Kia. They're still open for business at this time at Werribee Kia. You can buy a car online or over the phone, 1300 736 736. Peter LeGrand also to join us after the break, after the big Caulfield Cup carnival. Had the highlight of a great Caulfield Cup yesterday. Plenty still to come.
Sell with O'Brien Real Estate before December 18th to go into the running to